I was wanting to continue today with a series of teachings on the kingdom of God. I began it a few weeks back with talking about the oracles and the ordinances and the principles of the kingdom of God. The first one, if you recall, was on tithing, that you can't outgive God, that whatever you give comes back to you 100-fold or more. The second one was about prayer, how we can pray for each other and we can go to the Father and have access to the throne. But today, I want to focus on something that's really important as sort of a preamble to the kingdom of God. Because if you're going to talk about a kingdom, you should talk about the king. And if you're going to live in a kingdom, you should know who the king is. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's easy to talk about God, isn't it? The word God just rolls off our lips like everybody knows what we're talking about. But yet, in some ways, we don't know, because the magnificence of God, the glory of God, as the mighty awesome one, that's what Jeremiah says, the mighty awesome one, that all-knowing and all-seeing and ever-present one that we call God, that one that's not human, you know, he's not like us. He's not like us. We're like him. We're created in his image and likeness. But God is not like us. He's not human. But he is perfect. Anybody else here perfect? Yeah. He's benevolent, and he's eternal. God has been always and will be always. That's who he is. He's holy. He's holy. He's sacred. Otherworldly. He's eternal, he's spirit, and as we saw in the reading today from 1 John, he's light, and in him is no darkness at all. I was reading a story last week about a man who has a ministry, and one of the young men in his church walked into a bar, and he started to talk to somebody in that bar about Jesus. And he came on Sunday morning, he said, I went into this bar, and I started talking to people about Jesus. And he said, 20 years ago, the church would have said, you did what? You went into a bar? But you know what? Things have changed, because the light chases away darkness. The light of Jesus chases away darkness. And wherever Jesus goes in you, the light is there with you and in you. And you take it with you. And so when you go into the places in the world that don't look very bright, when you go into places in the world that may be considered darkness, you're walking in there with the light of life living inside of you. That's what God's like. He's totally light, and there's no darkness in him at all. He made us. We didn't make him. One of the things that used to really tick me off about God was that he was God and I'm not. Anybody else? You know, he's God, I'm not. Get used to it. He created the world, and he created man and woman, and he loves his creation. Did you know that he loves you? Now, when I say that, God bless you, Jessica, that was a good sneeze. Yeah. When I say that God loves you, he knows your name. Can you close your eyes for a moment and say, God knows my name? Say it out loud.
God knows my name.
That's true. God knows your name, and he has that love for you, each one of you. This is supreme love, this love that requires in return nothing. He desires our worship. He desires our praise. But his love for you is unconditional. He loves you just as you are. He was willing to commune with his creation, Adam and Eve. When he created the world, he put Adam and Eve in this garden. And you know how many acres that garden had? Like 10 trillion acres, right? In other words, he put Adam and Eve in this world, and he gave them this world and said, this is yours. I've created this for you. And he still says that to us today. This is yours. I've created this for you. Did you know that today is Earth Day? It's Earth Day today. God made the heavens and the earth. And when he did that, he gave Adam and Eve authority over the world, and he even let them name the animals. Can you imagine that? I can just kind of almost see the picture of Adam and Eve sitting in the garden, and God's bringing the animals and said, what do you want to call this one? What do you want to call this one? It's your world, God said. I made this for you. It's your world, Adam. You give them names. You have dominion over it. You have authority and power over this world that I gave you. They were in charge, you see. Adam and Eve were in charge of their world. They were in charge of everything God had given them. They had total say in what went on around them. The animals, by the way, were tame. Even the lions and tigers and bears. They were all tame. In this beautiful and lovely kingdom, are you listening? In this beautiful and lovely kingdom that God created for Adam and Eve, there was only one thing that he required of them, that he be Lord. What does Lord mean? So that he be the one who they worship. He be their God. That's all he said. I'm the Lord your God. I want to come down in this garden from my kingdom, and I want to commune with you and walk with you, and I want to have conversations with you every day. I'm the one who created you, but I love my creation. And so he did. He came and spoke to them every day in the garden. And they knew that he was their creator and the benevolent father to whom they could speak. They knew that they had all wisdom and knowledge. He had given it to them. They could ask him anything, and he would know the answer. They knew that he had provided everything they needed right there in that garden. Everything you need is right here. He told them that there were two trees in the garden, by the way. There's two trees in the midst of the garden that I want you to pay attention to. One is called the tree of life, and the other is called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can eat all you want of the tree of life, but you can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One thing you can't do, don't eat of that tree. Just one thing. What did they do? They didn't resist the temptation, did they? They were hanging around the tree, and Eve was there, and the serpent spoke to her, and she gave in and gave Adam of the fruit, and he ate it right there with her in the garden. They gave in to temptation. Does that sound like somebody you know? Yeah. Have you ever in your life given in to the temptation to do wrong when you knew it was wrong? Come on now. Yes? Okay, that's it. Yeah. Jack has his hand up back there. And when they did that, when they gave in to the temptation, they took what God had given them. They took this earth that he gave them authority over, and they handed that authority over to the enemy. You understand that that's what happened. That's what happened way back then, and everything changed from that moment on. Everything changed. God didn't come to Adam and Eve and say, well, I'm going to take it back. I'm going to take it all back. No, it was still Adam and Eve's earth, but they had given authority of the earth over to the enemy by giving in to his temptation. So he left us in charge of the earth, but now things were different. Everything had changed from this beautiful garden that he had given them. Everything changed. There was only one thing that he required of them, and they messed it up. He required of them that he be Lord, that they obey him as their God, and they disobeyed in the one thing. And so they were cast out of the garden, and the story in the Old Testament goes on and on. The people of God, he would deliver them. He would set them free. He would set his prophets in their midst. He even set a cloud of fire in their midst. The people of God wandered through the wilderness, and the people of God over the thousands of years kept doing the same thing that Adam and Eve did. They were provided for by God, and they turned over that authority. They turned it over to the enemy. They went after other gods. They sold out. Year after year, decade after decade, century after century, and millennium after millennium, they did the same thing that Adam and Eve did. You see, God deserves our praise and worship. He's the creator and the loving and benevolent father. But each one of us, like Adam and Eve, we gave in and resisted. We made other things the Lord of our life, maybe other people. The people of God forgot the true and living God and made images of animals and people and worshiped them. Each time they were shown their sinful ways,
and turned away from them. They offered sacrifices to God to show their sincerity and their sorrow for doing what they had done. God forgave them and gave them another chance. Do you know that God forgives you? He gave his people another chance. The story goes on and on about God who loves his people and gave them all the innumerable opportunities to make him the only Lord. And finally, the time was right. It was the perfect time in all of human history. The time was right for God to make a new agreement, a new covenant. He said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, to live on earth as one of you. And he's going to solve the whole dilemma of mankind. And so he did. He came to the earth, and it was the perfect time in all of history, the time for God to restore the plan that he had from the beginning. And he sent his beloved son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to tell the truth about all of mankind and to show them the true Father, again, who loves them. He showed them and us that we can take back. We can take back that kingdom that God created for Adam and Eve. And we can live according to the principles of that kingdom, even though we're stuck here on earth, if you want to put it that way. He only required one thing of them and of us, that he be Lord of our lives. The people in Jesus' day were sadly misinformed about what this predicted Messiah came to do. Can you imagine that? Jesus is walking on earth. He's been around here for 33 and a half years, and in the last 3.5 years of his life with his disciples, he goes around, he's healing people, he's doing miracles, he's teaching the gospel of repentance to all of the people, and they rejected him because they wanted a ruler who would establish his throne in the midst of the Roman Empire and take over and rule from his throne. They wanted the governor, a politician, who would rule their world. And their Lord, their Messiah, had to live up to their expectations. They made the rules. They were Lord of their own lives, and Jesus didn't fit into their mold, their preconceived notion of what life should be like. In fact, so convinced were they that this man, Jesus Christ, couldn't possibly be the Messiah, they killed him for claiming that he was. And it looked like the enemy had won again. It looked like the plan of God had been thwarted once again, like it was in the Garden of Eden. That the enemy had once again deceived mankind and they'd fallen for his trickery. But instead of partaking of the tree of life, all of mankind ate of the tree of good and evil and acted in accordance with another Lord, another God. But this time, it was different. Jesus, in his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, defeated the power of the enemy and took back the authority that Jesus had given Adam and Eve on the earth. He took it back for us. No more sacrifices of animals to prove your sorrow and repentance for your sin. No more prophets rising up and coming in and telling you the oracles of God. Jesus reestablished the broken communion that Adam and Eve created, the broken communion with God. And you know what he did? He reconciled the world to himself. He brought the world back to where it was supposed to be. He didn't add up your sins. He didn't act in spite or in hate or in anger or in abandonment or aloofness, but in love. The one thing that's remained constant from the beginning, from the creation until this very moment, is the love of God. That God so loved the world and each one of you that he gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And in spite of all the glory, majesty, and awesome power and creative word of God, he sees you as you are and wants to make an agreement with you today, just as he did back then. And that agreement only requires one thing, that he is Lord of your life. God, through Jesus Christ, has made it possible for you to have forgiveness of your sins. Isn't that a burden that we gladly shrug off of our shoulders? All the guilt, all the sin, all the things that have been weighing us down for all these years, what a wonderful, mighty God we serve, that he's willing to take that away from us and instead give us a replacement for that. And what we call the replacement is this: the joy, the peace, and the love of Jesus Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. And that is why we call the history of the gospel, which means good news. That's why we call it good news. And some of you sitting out there are probably saying, why is Father Jerry rehashing this whole story of Christianity? This is the old, old story, the story that we all know. The story of how the creation of the world fell and that God, Jesus came and redeemed the world. Why am I going over the basics of our faith? Why am I repeating that story of God's love? Why on Earth Day am I talking about the Earth's demise at the hands of the very one for whom it was created? Because it's not too late. It's not too late. The very reason we're here today is to continue what was begun 2,000 years ago. To live on planet Earth as its occupants, but to live on planet Earth as citizens of the kingdom of God. To choose to make the true and living God our King and Lord of our lives, and thus to restore all things that were lost in the fall of mankind. This restoration happens within us and affects the way we live in this world. And we know now what it means to be at true peace and have real joy in spite of what's going on around us. We bow our knees to the loving and merciful God who has shown us his way of life and his domain. And he only requires one thing of us, that he be Lord of our lives. What about you? The history of mankind, I couldn't possibly do it justice in a few short minutes. It's impossible to do that, really. But I want you to realize that we come together out of our love for God and because of his love for us. We sing songs and we raise our hands, some of us, and we worship him because he loves us and we love him. We rejoice because he calls us his children and our relationship with him has been restored. That the enemy no longer has any power or authority in our lives. And that he's not left us alone here on planet Earth, on this good Earth. He's not left us alone to fend for ourselves, but has given us the Holy Spirit to live with us and in us. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And that's the glory of God. That's why we're here. We still live on a planet where many and most of mankind still bows down to the enemy, who still gives him credence. But the real joy and peace and truth that lies within us, that satisfaction that we have, comes in knowing and having a relationship with him. And did you know that you can have that relationship right here and right now today? You can know what it means to be clean, pure, holy, at peace, and in joy on the inside with God. Regardless of where you might have been, what you've done in your life, God already knew it. He already knew everything you were ever going to do in your life, and he loves you anyway. He loves you unconditionally. You can know what it means to have a full and satisfied heart and not be empty and void of life. Did you know that our mission to the world is to go out and make visible the void? We can fill that up. Not us, but God can fill that up through us. Through us, he can use us to fill the void. You can know what real power and authority are over your surroundings, over your life, and over the enemy of your soul. And most important, you can discover what love really is. Because we spend most of our lives looking for love in all the wrong places, as the song goes. But you can discover where it really is and what that love really is. Love for one another, sure, but love for the one who loves you unconditionally, the one who knows your name, the one who created you and knew you when you were being formed in your mother's womb, the one who knows everything about you, everything, every secret, every mystery, every word and every thought, and he loves you. I'm standing here in the midst of my family, family in the Lord. I call you family because we have the same Father. Our Father is God. Our Savior is Jesus Christ. But maybe some of you, or one of you, or more of you, need to pray this today, this prayer. And it won't hurt for you to pray it anyway, even if you already have. I want you to pray with me right now. Close your eyes and just pray with me silently and agree with what I'm saying. It's okay to close your eyes. If everybody's eyes are closed, then you're not looking at anybody and nobody's looking at you. So just close your eyes for a moment. Pray with me. Father in heaven, God of all the universe, I give up, Lord. I've been ignoring and resisting you. I've been sinful in my ways and have been living my own life without regard to you. I've been Lord of my own life, and I haven't done a very good job of it. I confess this to you, my Father. I want you to be Lord of my life. And I now turn that lordship that I've had over to you. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and forgive me of all of my sins. Cleanse me of the darkness and the shame and the guilt that weighs so heavily upon my soul. Make me a new creation and make my life new. Let me make a new start right now at this moment. Help me to live my life with you as Lord and Savior and not to take the control back away from you. Guide me in all of my ways and protect me from harm and evil. And now, Lord, I look to you for provision, for comfort, for peace, for joy, and for love. Thank you, God, my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are Lord. Amen.